You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the Dublin to Denver podcast on the Mile High Report podcast network. My name is Michael McQueen, joined by Colm Cronin, Stuart Roach. It is week one of the NFL season. Delighted to be here, gentlemen. On the cusp of another Broncos season, the hope, the expectation, the excitement, the fear, the worry, the sadness, every emotion you feel with this team. Colm, first of all, welcome back. I'm presuming you're extremely excited at this moment.
I'm relieved that there's finally actual football to talk about. Been a week to forget off the field, I think, for the Broncos. I think everyone involved in the franchise, I would imagine, from the front office to those on the roster, to those in the stands, to those of us all around the globe in Broncos country, just want to leave this stupid, no good, very bad week behind. We've had worse weeks. We've had more tragic weeks. I don't know if we've had more petty and more stupid weeks. I'm glad that we have a game against the Giants to focus on.
I'm presuming you don't want to go into detail on what you mean by petty, no, or even like a bullet point or
the LA Times story on the QB situation last year, which was clearly just terribly handled, and just a ridiculous situation that was awfully handled by everybody concerned. The fact that, you know, it was all hinted at this time last year, but it's only really emerged now. I don't think anyone comes out of this well, but especially your leaders in the locker room. It's really not good. And obviously when you have a player arrested, whatever the reasons, just take care of business. Like, handle yourself, get it all taken care of. You have enough money to have one of the best lawyers in the state of Colorado.
Frank Azar.
Just get it sorted. Like, what's the need for having it? It's just the last thing you needed. Like, we haven't been good in September, obviously. We know that, right? We just want to focus on football, and you have all this off-the-field distraction.
Okay, so we now, and I think it's good it's been brought up. The negative vibes have ended. Stay on the podcast. Positive vibes, we're going to go 17-0. Stuart, welcome in.
We're going 17-0, Mick. Are the Chiefs no longer in our division? Did I miss
have they redrawn it? sorry. Yeah, no, look, it's, you know, I think particularly if you're not involved in the playoffs, which I can kind of only vaguely remember what the playoffs are as a concept as a Broncos fan. When you're not involved in the playoffs, the off season goes on even longer. So it seems like an age since we've had Broncos football to talk about meaningful Broncos football. So yeah, I mean, I think we were all really looking forward to it. You know, there's been a lot of talk about this team. There's been a lot of talk about the weapons, about this young team having huge amounts of potential. Very interesting. A lot of that talk is coming from within the Denver sort of sports writing community and Denver Broncos fans. There's not a huge amount of love for the Broncos in sort of preseason power rankings, which I think, you know, one or two may have some kind of bias towards it. But if everybody's saying that the Broncos are in and around like 22, 24, then there might be something in that. But then again, you know, that's presumably sort of blackboard bullet point motivational stuff. You know, you can get a couple of copies of those put up on the locker room and that will help. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. We do seem to have spent the entire offseason sort of focusing on the quarterback. Then that was the quarterback competition, and I use that in the most massive inverted commas that I can possibly imagine, because there was no quarterback competition as we know now. Then when that was decided, it was almost like, okay, so what do we talk about now? So there's been quite a gap between that. So here we are finally. So I'm looking forward to seeing if this team, which has been kind of hyped up a little bit, to see if some of it's justified. I don't think all of it can be justified, because I think it's been a little over the top, some of it, to be honest with you. But I'm looking forward to seeing if we can at least do some damage in the first couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Giants first game, Jacksonville second game. The one thing, lads, about, you know, maybe not having the best performance over the last few years means that there's only one nighttime game for us. So it's great for us. The game's on at 9:25 our time, 2:25 Mountain. Delighted with that, I'm not going to lie. Perfect timing. Broncos going to MetLife Stadium to play the Giants. They were in MetLife Stadium last year against the Jets on Thursday Night Football. That was a nice performance. Let's hope we can repeat that performance. Maybe get a couple of duty touchdowns this week. I guess just starting off with yourself, Colin, what's your thoughts on this matchup against the Giants? I think we're getting them at the right time.
Yeah, I definitely think that we are. I mean, look, Dave Gettleman, it hasn't gone off to the start that I think they wanted. Like, he is entering his fourth year as the Giants general manager. And they, I believe, are currently on the run of the worst kind of three-year stretch in Giants football. So it certainly has not been a happy few years for the Giants, very similar to us in many ways. And but they have retained faith, I suppose, in Daniel Jones. But they seem to be putting a line together in the last couple of weeks. They're bringing in guys having realized that things were not good there. So, you know, this is a team that was the talk of the NFL during training camp. There was the brawl in which their franchise QB ended up at the bottom of the pile. That's really the last thing you want to see. They had four different players retire during training camp. Oscar Wilde famously said, like, you know, one is unfortunate, two is careless. What is four? Is what you'd wonder. I think they, more than anybody, are the biggest kind of boom and bust team in the NFL, given the division that they are in, because it's really up to anybody. But the other thing about them is that they do have plenty of playmakers. Now, we're fortunate in that how fit is Barkley. He's obviously coming off that major injury last year, and some of the guys they've drafted or have brought in free agency, have they had time to gel? So yeah, I absolutely agree. If for a time to play them, I think this is it.
Absolutely. And you're talking about one is that and two is that. Four is an omni shambles, Colin. I've always wanted to use that word in the podcast. Omni shambles. Stuart, I would look at this Giants team, and you know, and we've said this last week, Stuart, we have to have a high expectations of this Broncos team. You know, the moves they have made, the players they have, a quarterback that's experienced, like Teddy Bridgewater, that is there to hopefully bridge that gap to get us, hopefully, to maybe a wild card spot in the playoffs or a playoff berth this year. We have to have high expectations. And I look at the Giants team this week, Stuart, and I just think, if we're not winning that, I mean, come on, you know? Like, Daniel Jones, do you believe, Stuart, that Daniel Jones is worthy of playing for the New York Giants?
Michael, I said a couple of weeks ago when supposedly Locke and Bridgewater were still duking it out, that I don't think Daniel Jones is a better quarterback than Drew Locke. I think Drew Locke has more natural talent than Daniel Jones. The only difference was that Daniel Jones was drafted way too high in the first round and Locke was drafted in the second round. You could also argue that Locke had the misfortune of being drafted by the Denver Broncos, who have absolutely no idea how to develop a young quarterback. And the Giants have done that successfully in the past. So I think with somebody like Daniel Jones, this presumably now would be the season where they'll decide if he's actually going to be the quarterback of the future. As Colin was saying, that they're trying to put some kind of a line together. I think they drafted Andrew Thomas last year, and they drafted a wide receiver early this year. They've also Nate Solder is the other tackle. Nate Solder has been hot and cold over the years. So I think that they're trying to get the pieces in place. I think Colin touched on it. Obviously, Saquon Barkley, a fully fit Saquon Barkley, is a frightening proposition for any team, even a defense as loaded as ours. And to me, the biggest loss that they have is Evan Ingram, who is a tight end, who's a very dynamic tight end. A non-dynamic tight end is liable to go off on a career day against us, has been proven over the years. So somebody who's actually really talented would kill the Denver Broncos, regardless of the defense that we have. It's a problem that we've never been able to deal with. I think we've gotten close a couple of times. Some Wade's defense in 2015 struggled a bit with tight ends, but they weren't decimated by them. So Evan Ingram was a huge loss. I think Kyle Rudolph is probably going to be the tight end this week. I think he's done well against us in the past, but he's getting towards the end of his NFL career. So Kenny Golladay is a dangerous wide receiver, but you'd like to think that, you know, the strength of our team matches up very well with them. You know, Golladay is a threat, but you should be able to take care of him. And the rookie, I can't remember the rookie wide receiver, Shepherd, is decent, but he's not anything spectacular. So, you know, they can't really lean on the run if Saquon is on a pitch count. He's still going to be dangerous. You still expect him to go for something significant. But yeah, this is the time to get at them. I think I didn't really know a huge amount about the New York Giants, apart from Colin's talking about the retirements. So I went on a couple of their fan sites. It's interesting to see their perspective. I think they think the Broncos are talented, with very little respect for Bridgewater. Their whole thing seems to be, if we stop their run, they think Melvin Gordon and Williams are going to be very dangerous. So they seem to be trying to focus on stopping the run and making Bridgewater throw it, which I thought was interesting. So I think that's that runs counter to the belief that some of the Broncos fans, I think, seem to have in Teddy. You know, but I think we need to establish the run anyway. I think regardless of who the quarterback is, that should be the identity of the team, to run the ball well and have a really stingy defense. Giants secondary is probably the best part of their team. I think they've got some real playmakers back there, and they gave the Seahawks, who started none of their starters against us, but then I think they played quite a few of them against the Giants, and the Giants secondary gave Russell Wilson some, you know, gave him a lot of problems. So they do have some playmakers back there. So I don't think we're gonna put 35 points on them. I think it'll be a tough, tight game. I think you've got two pretty good defenses and two offenses to be sort of confirmed as to what exactly they are identity wise.
Absolutely spot on. And I actually, Colin, we were chatting to an Irish Giants fan of the weekend, and he was sort of saying, you know, who's gonna be the running back? Like, the threat that we have there with Gordon and Williams is something else. And I really think that's going to be key to the game. But another key to the game, Colin, Pat Surtain, the references, the quotes coming out of the Valley, even this last week, from reputable people like Tom Pelissero, James Palmer, saying about his progression in camp. This is his moment, isn't it, in this first game, to make a statement, not just to the team, but to the division and the league, saying, I was the right pick. Any Broncos fans that had the doubts and feelings and stuff, look at me now. I mean, I've got a feeling, Colin, this could be a big game for him on Sunday.
Well, look, we know he's going to be a very good player. Like, I mean, anyone who doubts his ability never watched the guy. I don't think that's the issue with the draft. And look, it's done now. I think it will be debated over pints for time immemorial, but we are. Pat Surtain, I'm interested to see how and where and we use him. I'm interested to see how Vic Fangio's defense will look. I'm really glad Mike Purcell is back, because I think he is such a key piece in terms of stopping the run. Because when he, like, if you go back 2 years, right, before Purcell comes in, teams run all over us. Then at the beginning of last year, there were other issues, but while Mike Purcell was fit, teams couldn't run all over us. Once Mike Purcell went out, they could run all over us. So if you can't obviously stop, you know, the run, it makes it a hell of a lot easier for teams. Whereas if you can stop the run and they have to kind of throw the ball, it's going to give playmakers on defense that opportunity. We know how important takeaways are. That was an area we were dead last last year in terms of giving the ball away, but not getting takeaways in any way, shape or form. Pat Surtain should certainly be a danger in that respect. Obviously, there was that nice play in preseason against the Vikings, but he's done it kind of throughout college as well. Kyle Fuller is another who you'd look to. So obviously, look, that revamped secondary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is going to be hugely important. There was some talk during the week about Bryce Callahan and could he be traded, but as we record, that hasn't happened. I hope it doesn't happen. I think Bryce Callahan is a fantastic player. I don't think he plays 16 games, because it's never happened in his career. But I think when he is on the field, he's very, very talented. And that's what you want. You want options, especially given the injury concerns that we have had. But you have, you know, two super established safeties there who are going to help out the cornerbacks. You have a number of, you know, established cornerbacks as well. So I think the defense should be set up to go off. The issue is we don't seem to be able to get Von Miller and Bradley Chubb on the field. At the time of recording, the Broncos are practicing, but Bradley Chubb is not in pads. So what does that mean for Sunday? Will Von be on account, given that they're just bringing him back? So there are questions at that side of things, but the secondary should be very, very good.
One thing, Stuart, that Ian Sinclair, Adam Malin, and I brought up on their podcast this week was also the emotion of the game. And I'm going to add another factor to this. The first game back with full crowds in MetLife for the Giants, you know, for the players, that's a huge incentive for them. But also it being the 20th anniversary of 9/11 as well. And I guess all of that's, I guess, pre-game, there will probably be ceremonies as well. You know, you have to think as well, that can have a massive impact on the game as well, that emotion.
Yeah, I think a couple of weeks ago when we spoke about our season predictions, I think, Colm, you were a little bit nervous about this game, and I think I'm a little bit nervous about this game as well. I mean, I think it's an intimidating enough stadium to go into, I think, particularly. And we don't tend to do well on the East Coast. We don't. Now, I think we're lucky it's not the East Coast early kickoffs, that which are 6 o'clock for us on a Sunday. Our record in those is abysmal. So in some ways, I think that's a little bit better for us. But yeah, like there's always a couple of crazy results in week one as well. You know, like wasn't it like 2 years ago?
The Jags getting the win over the Colts last year is one that definitely jumps out from
week one. And I think we made 2 years ago. Do you remember the Browns were massively hyped going into the season and they got absolutely rinsed? I can't remember who it was.
I think it might be the opposite this week, Stuart. I think the Browns could pull off a massive result on Sunday.
Look, you know, I think the Browns are really, you know, themselves and the Bills are a great story, and it just finally shows if you get the right pieces in place and if you persevere with the young quarterback, then occasionally, you know, good things can happen. But that, you know, that's crazy talk for where we're from. But I think you're always allowed to get a couple of crazy results, as I say. This is the only week of the NFL I wouldn't bet. For our American listeners, they're only allowed to bet real on NFL games recently, whereas we've been doing it for years. I wouldn't touch week one of the NFL when it comes to betting. I wouldn't go near it because, you know, there's always going to be a result that just blows your mind. Hopefully it's not us. Unusually for the Broncos, we're 3-point favorites on the road. So I think, you know, the expectation is we win a tight one. Those things that you were talking about, Michael, that they are factors. You know, it's going to be a full crowd. They're a raucous crowd. They're not a bad team, the Giants. It's just kind of hard to know where they're at, really. I mean, their record was kind of similar to ours last year. I know we've had a good off season, but there's no reason to think that we're vastly superior to the Giants. I expect this to be a tight game that could probably go either way, depending on how things shape up. I don't expect a blowout for either team. I don't expect a blowout for the Broncos because we don't score enough points to blow people out. So.
Yeah, and I guess before we actually look at who we think might win and why today, on Sunday, sorry. Colm, what would a win on Sunday do for this team? Never mind Coach Fangio. You know, September, a win in September. You know, I almost feel like I'm cursing myself saying it. It's been such a long time that we've had that feeling. How would this set us up going into the rest of the season? Because I personally think if we win on Sunday, I think that makes that Jacksonville game so much easier. It really does. It gives us that, takes a monkey off the back almost.
Yeah, well, I think if you don't win, then the talk around September and the Broncos not winning in September becomes incessant. And it goes from a thing Broncos fans are focused on to perhaps a national media narrative, because all of a sudden you're 0-8 and it's three seasons in a row where the Broncos have lost the opener. So it's important, I think, in terms of changing the narrative. If this is the season which is supposed to turn the narrative around and is supposed to be about getting the Broncos back to winning football, then it has to begin in week one. And yes, going to the East Coast is never easy, as Stuart rightly points out, and it is, those early games where we really struggle. But this is not a wonderful Giants team. It's a team which is very similar to us in many ways. Like, if you look at these two teams, we were 28th in points per game last year. We haven't been above 20. We haven't been out of the 20s since 2015. The Giants have, in fairness to them. But last year they were 31st. We were 28. It's teams where both of the local the fans and local media will talk about the amount of playmakers that each of these teams have drafted, brought in, in terms of both wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, because they have Kyle Rudolph now. But can the QBs do it? Can either of these teams score points? But I think if we want to see the Broncos, you know, have a winning season, even if it isn't playoff football, but if we want a winning season, you need to win week one, because I expect the Jags to win. I mean, yes, they have all sorts of issues, but they're playing the Texans week one. Right. I mean, the Texans traded away Bradley Roby today. Like, they are anyone who has any sort of ability, they're trying to get rid of. So I would expect the Jags to win that game. So they're going into it 1-0. You want to be going into it 1-0 and not 0-1. Because again, you're on the road. So I think a win is important. It's something that we really need.
Have you had any other shirt before we get our predictions for game one?
No, I think Colm's dead right. And also, interesting enough, looking at the Giants today, something I wasn't aware of, because they've kind of sort of faded from importance in the last couple of years. The Giants are actually probably worse than we are when it comes to the first two games of the season. Their record in the opening two games of the season for the last, I think, 6 or 7 is dreadful. They're terrible. So, you know, this could be like round 15 of a championship fight to see who falls over first. So you've got two of the worst starters in the NFL when it comes to September games, going at it. So we'll see how it plays out. But I agree. I think what Colm was saying, you know, you don't want to invest things with must win now because it is still week one. But I think the weight of what's happened in the past, also the weight of expectation that's been placed on the team by Broncos fans, I think you kind of have to win this game. You really do, because as we touched on last week, you have to go 3-0. You really have to go. This team has to go 3-0, because if it doesn't go 3-0, then the tests become much, much harder very, very quickly. And before you know it, you can find yourself 3-5. You know, so you need that bit of buffer. You need that bit of cushion at the start. We've been gifted a pretty easy start as things go. And we haven't been in the last couple of years. Last year's start was brutal on reflection now. When you look back on it, this year it's pretty easy. So you have to take advantage of that. So you need to win those opening three games somehow. It doesn't matter if you win them all by one field goal in each game. You just have to win them.
Absolutely. And it's not like Stephen Kenny for Ireland this week, is it? You know, it's not a must-win game. So I'm joking. Let's see what happens. I had to get that. It's been a hard week for people over here. A very hard week. Okay, it's a short enough episode this week, so let's get our final predictions ahead of week 1. I'll go last, Colm. Do you want to go? So who's going to get the win on Sunday in MetLife and why?
I think the Broncos need to win this game. I think that overall we're healthier than the Giants are. I mean, realistically, Saquon is the Giants' best player. He is not healthy. He is coming off that serious injury. Their line that they'll have out there won't have played together. So we've talked all off season about the stability that the Broncos have had in terms of the coaching staff. There haven't been those injuries that we saw last season. The Broncos should win this game. I think they can win this game. I don't expect a high scoring game in either way. It is going to be a battle because you've got two good defenses. But if the Broncos are going to go anywhere, they need to win a game on the road as well. And I think they can. Probably 17-14 sort of thing. It's not going to be one that is very memorable, not going to feature too frequently on Red Zone, I would imagine, and Brandon McManus will earn his paycheck.
Stuart, what about you, man?
Yeah, I wish I'd written it down before Colin said it, because I'm predicting 20-17 for the Broncos. I think it'll be a tough game. As Colin said, there's two good defenses there. I think you've got two of probably the most boring quarterbacks in the NFL, in Daniel Jones and Teddy Bridgewater. So for me, I'll be looking at the defenses. And I think Denver's defense is potentially very exciting and very good. I mean, to be brutally honest, most of my focus this season is going to be on the defense, because I expect Teddy to put us all to sleep by week 8. Dink and dunk. Somebody once said before he got released, Royce Freeman was in danger of breaking the single season record for receptions the way things were going in preseason. Sadly, that's not going to happen because Royce is no longer with the team. But I'm excited to see what this defense is like. I just hope we get to see Chubb and Miller together. We haven't had anywhere near enough of that. And again, I think I'm looking to see if Vaughn can continue to add to his Broncos sacks record. I think it'll be tight. I think it'll be a lot closer than people seem to anticipate. I do think there'll be a field goal in it. I think the Broncos have to win, and I think they just about will get it done, but it'll be a bit of a nail biter.
I agree with you guys as well. I think the Broncos will win. I think they'll win 2017. I think that's the same as you, sure, yeah. 2017. I don't think it'll be as low as Colin thinks, but I think it'll be up there. I think the Broncos will win 2017, score one touchdown, and McManus will score everything. Well, I mean, okay, 21-17. Okay, fair enough. I think McManus will earn his money, but the reason I think we'll win the game is because of the Giants' offensive line. It's not good enough. It's not good enough to beat the Broncos. You know, one point he's made at the start there was, you know, how many reps does Von Miller get? You know, does he come in? Does he play the whole game? I think that's interesting, but I just don't think that offensive line is good enough for the Giants. Also, having a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, while he's not a world beater, he's structured. He knows how to play the game properly. He'll be able to manage that offense well if we get out to it quickly. Then the start of this game is so important. Judy in, Sutton in. No excuses. Have to win this game. No excuses whatsoever. The Broncos need to win this game. 21-17. And we're all giving them 1-0 in the season. So, boys, that's a good start, yeah? Good start.
Well, it'll do, Michael. Yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering if Teddy's knows the game and if he's structured. Why do teams keep releasing him all the time?
That's a good question. I'm not saying he's a world beater, but he's got the experience. He should know how to go to MetLife Stadium and take this offense and get them. And this is the problem this year. Get them over the line. Will he be able to do it? We're about to find out. At least we're all agreeing that we're going to win at least. Boys.
Yes.
We're planning to be back start of the week to maybe review the game and start to look ahead to the Jaguars game. Appreciate your time. Appreciate everyone who listens to this podcast. Please give Mile High Report a subscribe and a like and a review as well on your podcast platform. And lads, I'll speak to you soon. Enjoy the game on Sunday and go Broncos.